Shulchan Aruch, they write that we get started pretty late with the Seder. Or to put it more precisely, we don't make early Pesach. Which is strange, right? Because we're so focused correctly, based on Pesukim and Chumash, on engaging kids. Gemara says in the Avret Pesach, Rebbe Kiv used to give a candy. The candy in the old days was like puffed wheat and walnuts. Tastes have changed. But Rekhi was giving out candy to the kids to keep them engaged in the Seder. And we're very focused on keeping kids engaged and keeping kids awake. And because the way the Torah describes this mitzvah is a mitzvah God to Labincha, again and again, Kiyomer Lechem B'nechem, is intergenerational engagement. Then the question is, of all the times of the year that you would think you would make early Shabbos, early Yom Tov, Leila Seder seems like prime time. And yet Dafka, we don't. Matter of fact, we're having to make Kiddush early. We insist on not even getting to Kiddush until after Teis HaKacham. Where does that come from? So that begins with the Tosfos on Tzadi Tesnam Beis, the first Amud of Arvei Pesachim. Tosfos has a diuk in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Arvei Pesachim lo yochol adam ad shetechshach." You can't eat till it gets dark. So Tosfos says, "Till it gets dark, dafka." I mean, unlike Shabbos, when you can make early Shabbos, and you can even make Kiddush early. That's the Gemara in the fourth parak of Brachos and Tefillas Abigail, Tefillas Hashachar. The Gemara says, "Rav Tzali shal Shabbos v'ev Shabbos u'makayish." The Amora Rav would daven early. He would daven Tzali Shal Shabbos V'Erev Shabbos. He would daven Friday night Ma'ariv at the Kiddushta while it was still daytime. U'makadosh. And he would even make Kiddush. And Tosfos there has a big machlokas. Bali HaTosfos. He names two Bali HaTosfos you don't hear from that often. Rabbeinu Yehuda, who we hear from a lot of in Maseches Brachos. Because the Tosfos Maseches Brachos is Tosfos of Yehuda Sir Leon, that was his French name. Apparently, he was knighted. He doesn't appear so much elsewhere. But Tosfos in the beginning of Avrei Pesachim quotes Rabbeinu Yehuda arguing with the Rikorvel. Their argument is: how does Tosefes Shabbos work? Can you do mitzvos during Tosefes Shabbos? Can I eat my suda? Can I eat or daven plag and eat my entire suda bench? And the sun is still shining. The birds are still chirping. Does that work? Does that not work? That's a big machlokas there. The machlokas elsewhere also, but most famously, Tosfos Pesachim Saites and Beis, whether you can mekayim mitzvahs during Tosefes. I don't want to get too deeply involved, but it seems like it's a machlokas over what does Tosefes Shabbos mean. Does Tosefes Shabbos just mean a siyag, yisr malacha, make sure to stop doing malacha early? Or does it actually mean we actually started Shabbos early? We're actually injecting Kedusha Shabbos into the last couple of minutes of Friday. If it's just a siyag, so then... That it's not Shabbos yet. I'm not doing malacha, but it's still Friday. I can't have the Yom Kippur Shabbos on Friday. The other approach of Rikurvel is no. I actually have the ability to inject Kedusha Shabbos into the end of Friday, in which case it's Taka Shabbos. And Kaim Suda Shabbos. But Tosfos says either way, you cannot do that for Leil HaSeder. Either way, even if you hold, you can do Mitzvah Halayla. You can do mitzvah hayom of Shabbos of Yom Tov during Tosefes Shabbos. Even if you see Tosefes Shabbos, the more robust approach is mamish. You actually start the kedusha yom early. Tosefes says, but the Tosefes says explicitly that Pesach Matzah Mar you can't have until Pesach Kochavim, because the pasuk says Vachuz Habasar Balayla Hazem. You have to eat dafka balayla. Sounds like Tosfos is saying it might be Pesach, it might be Tezvav Nisan, but it's not nighttime. Because it's no better than eating Karm Pesach tomorrow morning. It's also Kedusha Yom Pesach, but it's not night. So if you're going to start Pesach early, if were you to have an early minyan, if you were to have a plug minyan this Friday night, and the Sunday you come home and you already davened Atav V'Chatanu, and you say Hallel and Shul, and you came home, and the sun is still shining, and the birds are still chirping, we'll say, and maybe the Kiddush is Yom HaPesach, but it's not Balayla Zeh. So you can't become Kriya Shema yet, and you, nor can you mekayim Pesach. If you can't mekayim Pesach, you can't have mekayim matzah mar either, because matzah mar is supposed to go along with Pesach. And the Chumash presents matzah mar as a accompaniment to the Karban Pesach. That's how we assume that mar b'zman hazeh is only drabanan. Mar is a daraisa. Chumash talks about mar. The Chumash only talks about mar as a hechsher of the pesach, as an accompaniment to the Karban Pesach. Because then you have a Karban Pesach, so then you have a mitzvah daraisa to eat the Karban Pesach together with matzah mar. Because then you don't have a Karban Pesach, so mar b'zman hazeh is only the drabanan, probably a zecher to the real mar daraisa. As a matter of fact, the Gemara even has a discussion, how about matzah? So we paskin like Rava, that matzah b'zman hazeh is daraisa, but that's because there's another pasuk about matzah. Chumash, in one place, talks about matzah as together with the Pesach. You also have the pasuk of Be'erev tochu matzos, a separate independent mitzvah of achilas matzah. So that's why we have matzah b'zman hazeh, minat Torah, mar is rabbanan, and all of those mitzvahs of achila are dafka b'layla hazeh. So Me'at Tosa says, you can only be Mekayim, you can only be Mekayim the mitzvah achila of the night after Tzitzak HaKavim, even if you have the more robust understanding of Tosef HaShabbos Yom Tov, but it's not going to allow you to eat earth. Once it doesn't, now how you get to Kiddush? There are two more steps. Once you can't eat Pesach Matzah Mar early, there's another mitzvah d'oraisa we began to talk about last time, which is intertwined with Pesach Matzah Mar. And that is the mitzvah of as we say, we quote from the Midrash Halacha, the end of the instruction part of Magid. I would have thought that the entire Nisan is Chodesh HaGeula, and therefore I could have Sipri Tzias Mitzrayim all Nisan long, or as I heard Rabbi Neuberger suggest more than once over the last couple weeks, I might think that since Geula was completed according to Ramban the following Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which is what we learned about this morning, Vehi B'Yom HaShmini, which is what's referenced at the end of Pekudei. Chumash Shmos ends with the permanent Hashras HaShechina on the Mishkan, and then Ramban says that's the completion of Geula. So Yachal, I could do maybe the time for Sibri Tzias Mitzrayim is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, either Rosh Chodesh Nisan of 2448, the beginning of Geula, or Rosh Chodesh Nisan of 2449, the completion of Geula. I tell him Lomar no. And I would think maybe it could be Mibod Yom, Yom Yudalim, Talmud Lomar, what? Why we know it's Leil HaSeder? Because, Bashar, Shesh Matzo Mar Menachem Lefanecha. The Zman of CPTS Mitzrayim is the same as the Zman of Pesach Matzo Mar. So Pesach Matzo Mar Dafka Balayla, CPTS Mitzrayim is Dafka Balayla. So if you start, if you say Magid before Tetzach Ochavim, even if you hold again of the more robust view of Tosef Shabbos. You hold it normally on a typical Shabbos Yom Tov, you could eat your whole Seuda during Tosefes and your Yotze, because you already began Shabbos, you already began Yom Tov, but Pesach Matzah Mar have to be Balayla, and therefore Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim have to be Balayla. Okay. Still, you'll say Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim. Okay. So I shouldn't get up to Manishkana until Tzitzak HaKavim. But still, it's going to take time for Kiddush. You have a bunch of people making Kiddush, and Urchat, and to go watch, and pass on the carbon. Have a big group, it's going to take us 20 minutes. So let's get started with Kiddush, 20 minutes before Tzitzak HaKavim. By the time we get up to, by the time we fill the second cup, away from Manishtana, it'll be Tzitzak HaKavim. Shulchan Aruch says, absolutely not. You can't even have your first cup, you can't even make Kiddush. Why not? That's because the Rambam that we learned. There's actually two Rambams. We already saw when we discussed the Sugya Haseba, Rambam understands that both Haseba and Arba Kosos are not just sort of free-floating Dima Drabanan, but they're actually aspects of Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim. The way the Rambam has the Girsa Chayav Adam Lahar Osa Satzmo, that part of Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim, like we talked about the other day, it's not just to mitzvah to recite. That's the Chiras Tzias Mitzrayim. It's not just this multimodal, multidimensional teaching, telling the story, relating, retelling the story in order to, for everyone to relate to the story as it's happening, in order to be able to relate Yisodos HaEmuna. So you have a lot of different pieces. You have questions, you have dramatic contrast, and you're relating the story to the order visually, the Pesach Matzah Mar, and according to the Rambam, you also have to act out the story. Chayav Adam L'Har Osas Atzmo.
And how do we do that? So Chazal picked as the minimum of Chayav Maharis Atzmo, Chazal mandate Haseva and Dal Kosos. That's why Rambam presents it in Perek Zayin of Hilchas Chametz Matzah. Lefikach, since you have a mitzvah of Chayav, part of the mitzvah Daraisa of CPC is described is Maharos Atzmo to portray it. It's not just a verbal mitzvah, but it's a kinesthetic mitzvah. It's active mitzvah's masa, that's the mitzvah's dibur. So part of the way we do that is arbakosos are actually a chelik of the secret Yitzhak Mitzrayim. And the Brisker Rav, the next Brisker Rav, points out, there's actually a beautiful read later on the Rambam. The way the Rambam and the Rif have a different gear, so the Gemara talks about these cases where, let's see, you're not doing Dalakosos prior. You drank Dalakosos, but you left out one of the details. Either you drank your Dalakosos Levas Achas, the guy was thirsty. It was really good wine. He had a glass of carabasas. Wow, this is great stuff. Let's just have another three. Don't try that at home. For several reasons. Don't try that at home for him either. Because four glasses in a row is a little bit much. Even if you're taking a Rama approach to Adla Yoda, you should be wise and intermingle the wine with water and with food. And certainly if you plan to have a sharp, clear mind for the royal evening of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim of Hallel, you want your mind to be clear and unencumbered. And aside from the fact that any night of the year, it's a really bad idea to have four glasses of Cabernet in a row, the Gemara also says, well, you're not really Yotze, sort of. You sort of Yotze a little bit, but not fully. And the Gemara says, or, here's another case, let's say you drink four kosos, properly spaced throughout the Seder, but undiluted. Our wine, we drink our wine straight. Tkufas HaChazal, they would typically take the wine and dilute it down to 25% or 33%. That would be two or three parts water to one part wine. Why they needed to dilute it, I think the technical term is cutting. That's true if you research history of cuisine. Yes, that's what I've assumed. That's why I've assumed that never got clarity. Maybe we can find more evidence. Greco-Roman wines were diluted with water. I assume it's because, and it seems like otherwise it would be incredibly powerful. It would overpower you. Now, I don't think that means that they had a higher alcohol content, because without distillation, the process of fermentation shuts down at around 15%, 18% alcohol content. That's why wines tend to top off that point, because fermentation is a biological process. You have yeast in the wine that's like chametz, that's eating up the sugar and producing the yeast that makes wine produces alcohol. But when the alcohol content gets too high, the yeast stop operating. So naturally, without distilling, you're physically sort of basically evaporating some of the water, which is how you make hard liquor. Naturally, just to ferment, it stops before 20% alcohol. It can be that Chazal's wine was higher in alcohol content, but I assume it was probably much higher in sugar content. And the same alcohol, sugar makes the alcohol and wine hit your brain faster and harder. So I imagine probably, like you're saying, very syrupy wine. Wine was harder to drink, and because of the sugar would be too potent. So they would dilute it with water. As a matter of fact, one of the reasons why in ancient times they were drinking wine and beer was it was a way of drinking water. It was a way of drinking water safely. Because if you don't have ways to ensure that your water is germ-free, you could be trying to drink water, end up ingesting dysentery or whatever other disease that the water might carry. I believe that part of the reason why wine and beer are so common is because you were taking water, adding a dose of alcohol to make it safe. And then that's how you get hydration. So that's sort of a different way of looking at it. But be that as it may, they didn't drink. To drink straight wine was a bizarre thing to do. It was just weird. Which also makes you realize the alcohol content of their wine was very low, because you're taking the alcohol content was a maximum of 15% or so, and then they were knocking it down to a quarter of that. So that 4% was less than Bartanura. That's what they were drinking. To put things into context. The Gemara says, if you drink your four kosos of Asachas, you were sort of Yotze, sort of not Yotze. If you drink your four courses at crack time, but chai, undiluted, also in a different way, sort of yotze, sort of not yotze. Now the girsa of the Gemara that we have, Rashi and Rashbam deal with it, it's hard to figure out exactly, yar yotze, not yotze, why? It doesn't seem that the two things are interrelated. Prescrub points out, though, if you look at the Rambam, the way Rambam puts the Gemara, it's golden. The Rambam is a peculiar different girsa. I believe it's a girsa sarif as well. It's very symmetrical. It's if you drank four kosos, if you drank them bevas achas, you yotze cherus, but not dalad kosos. If you drink your wine undiluted, gross tasting syrupy wine, then it's the reverse. You yotze dalad kosos, you weren't yotze cherus. What does that mean? Mr. Rav says, and this is a piece that the Masorah and Yeshiva is at the Mr. Rav and Rosh Salvech spent, I think, a Pesach together during World War I. And there was an incredible wine shortage. And they were trying to figure out how to best go about being Yotze, how to maximize the number of people that could be Yotze, Kosos, Leil HaSeder, with a limited amount of wine. And this shtickel in Brisker Rav Sefer was a result of the two brothers working for the Sukkah together. So they point out, the Rambam seems to think that there are two aspects to the mitzvah of Dalat Kosos. One aspect is called Cherus, one aspect is called Dalat Kosos. If you drink your Arba Kosos in the wrong location, you just drink, make Kiddush and drink four Kosos, you have been Yotze Cherus, but not Dalat Kosos. You drink four cups, you really Yotze Dalat Kosos. Now in the reverse, you drink them in the right location, you Yotze Dalat Kosos, but not Cherus. What does that mean? As Rishkarav explains, is that there are two aspects to the mitzvah of Dalat Kosos. Number one, we could say essentially what we've been talking about, that drinking Arba Kosos is an aspect of Sefirot Yetzias Mitzrayim. How? By demonstrating, I'm drinking a series of toasts at Kaddish Baruch Hu. I'm living a luxurious life. I'm having a series of glasses of wine, of course, my meal. So that's like Haseva. I'm demonstrating that I'm living with a certain aspect of luxury, B'nai Malachim. So that's part of the Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, the demonstrating, Laharos is that. There's another aspect of it. Didn't Stam say, drink wine? They created a particular structure for it. They adopted and adapted a structure we have elsewhere in Halacha, which is the notion of a kosher bracha, or bracha ala kos. Every once in a while, we have many, many brachas chazal and masakin. Every once in a little while, you have a bracha. Chazal said, don't just say the bracha. You're going to enhance the bracha. You're going to sort of highlight the bracha. So By putting ala kos. Just like I can just have a raw diamond, or I can have a diamond in a setting. If it's in a setting, all of a sudden it's very different. It gives it a whole new degree of cachet and focus. I can just have a beautiful canvas, or I can actually frame it. But frame it, it's very different. Frame it with matting, all of a sudden that adds so much to the painting. So I can just make, usually I just make a bracha, but every once in a while, I have to make the bracha ala kos. And that sort of contextualizes, and it's like a frame, like a picture frame, so to speak, for the bracha. It enhances, takes the bracha to a whole new level. We have different brachas that we do ala kos. Kiddush, Abdallah, Shabbat brachas, Birkas HaMazon, perhaps as a discussion, to what extent Birkas HaMazon goes to be bracha ala kos or not, because Mazon is Rishon, we assume it's not required, but we do it sometimes, we volunteer it sometimes. And then, Leil HaSeder, you have four brachas ala kos. You have Kiddush is ala kos, the bracha of Sefirot Yetzias Mitzrayim Asher Galanu is ala kos, benching is ala kos, even if all your long not bench ala kos, but Leil HaSeder you are, and the bracha of Hallel is ala kos. Interesting also, we say the bracha of Hallel other times of the year also, whether you say Nishmas, or you say whatever, Yaluk, whatever Nusuf you have, Ashkenaz, Sfar, whatever you think is the last bracha, we say those brachas the rest of the year, but Leil HaSeder is ala kos. So what Brisker points out is that Rambam seems to have understood there are two different aspects to the mitzvah of Dalat Kosos. It's the mitzvah of shtia, to drink wine, and that's what the Gemara calls cheres, which Rambam understands means this aspect of Sefirot Yetzias Mitzrayim, and it's also brachas al hakos. And you have to have both. The way the Rambam gives in the Gemara is either you got to have both. If I'm going to drink just for a nekidish, I just decide to sit down and polish off the bottle, besides the fact that it's very, very, very unwise and poor use of judgment in drinking, you also, it's not brachas al hakos. Takanas Chazal was to make four brachas al hakos. You're just drinking wine. There's no brachas al kos. And then le'idach yisag, if I'm going to drink my four brachas al kos, I'm going to have my kos in the right places, but the wine is such a highly inferior wine, you're drinking this syrupy, undiluted, it's chai, it's not mazug, you don't say abrakosos. Maybe you could be able to say kiddush, perhaps you could be able to say kiddush that way. But the Leil HaSeder, it's more than just brachas al kos. It can't just be good enough for a bracha al kos like a habdallah or a kiddush. It needs to be a respectable type of drinking, such that you're mekayim chayr, such that you're portraying laharos hazatzmo of the sipur yitzias mitzrayim. And believe Biskarav points out, or maybe not, but certainly Rav pointed out that the Tosas and Banav Tzayitessa and Beis, the first Amud in Arvei Pesachim, has a shaila. I believe Biskarav does rain point this out. I think the Rav quoted from his father and his uncle. Tosas and Banav Tzayitessa and Beis has a safek. The following Safik halacha l'maisa, and Baruch Hashem, this tends not to be a problem in our society, but back in the day, certainly during wartime, this is a very serious shaila. The Mishnah says that the first Mishnah, remember, talks about not eating Erev Pesach afternoon, Haseva and Arbakosas. What's the language about Arbakosas? And the Mishnah says, even if someone was living off of the dole, remember, someone living off getting food from daily food from tzedakah, tamchoy, still, you have to make sure the Gabbai Sal can't say, look, I gave you some food. No, you got to give him wine. Arbakosas is a necessity for everyone. What does the Mishnah say? Lo yifchasu lo arbakos shoyan. Why lo? Tos says, a shayla, does it mean lo as opposed to lahem? There's probably a family. It could be it's a fellow living by himself. But probably it's a family. Most of the time it'll be a family. So does that mean per person? Or maybe lo means the Baal Bais. After all, kiddush, one person makes kiddush and everyone's yotzei. Our minhag is that everyone drinks. But strictly speaking, if I make kiddush and you listen and I drink the wine you don't, I drink the Abdallah wine you don't, you're still yotzei Abdallah al kos. Maybe kiddush is a different kiddush. Maybe pashas is probably mikra din your yotzei kiddush without drinking anything. So second, a simple read of the Gemara in the beginning of Nazir. So, how about Leil HaSeder? Everyone drinks. Everyone has their own cups. Is that required? That's what Tosas discusses. Should we be medayik from the Mishnah that leave chasulo? Leil HaSeder also. The arbakosas. The balhaka. The man who's leading the seder. So he has the arbakosas. And everyone else just listens. You listen to his brach. You say amen. He drinks. Or maybe not. Or no, everyone has to have their own coast. So nice that we followed that approach, everyone has to have their own coast. Why? What's the logic for it? Just because, so the children should ask, means more personal engagement? No. It's because of this, and as I said, the belief of Scrub and Marshall Salvation put it together. It's the same idea as Aram. They're debating the same issue. If it's just kosher bracha, like all year long, so then one person could drink and everyone's yotzei. We're all listening to your bracha, we'll say amen, you drink, or maybe even someone else will drink. I can make the bracha and you drink. That works too. That's what the Gemara says now. The reason why we all drink is because we all assume the other day, the other possibility that Tosas is entertaining aligns with the Rambam. There are two aspects to the mitzvah of Dachos. It's not just, it is kosher bracha, but it's also a mitzvah of shtia, unlike all year long. And that would explain why everyone needs to drink. And that would also explain why the shear for how much you need to drink is not merely a melo lugmav, which is what you normally need for a kosher bracha, but a rov revius. You have to drink the revius. Rov revius suffices based on rebuka kula. But why is that? Because here it's actually a mitzvah shtia. It's not just kosher bracha, strictly speaking, I could make kiddush and. In theory, I could be Yotzei Kiddush without anyone drinking. The Gemara makes it sound at one point, almost like, you can be Yotzei Kiddush, but it's like a design to the Kosher Bracha. And the whole point of the Kosher Bracha is that the picture frame that's enhancing the Bracha, and then you're not even, no one's even going to drink it, it's going to leave it there, like no one cares about it. That sort of undercuts all that, the whole point of Kosher Bracha. Someone has to drink it. It's not really a mitzvah shtia. Leil HaSeder is different. It's that plus. And that's why in coming back, that explains why we insist that everyone drinks. That's why we, but if someone really is incapable of drinking, it's worth making a shaila hacham. If there's a severe medical issue, it's worth making she'elos chacham. Should we, b'shas hadchak, should we rely on the other approach of dosis? Would be yotzu someone else. I mean, that's why usually we mandate everyone drinks. That's why we mandate that you drink a rov revius rather than below lugva. That's why many assume that you have to have at least a little bit of wine, even if you're drinking mostly grape juice. There has to be some wine in it, because the chiras aspect may demand a little bit of punch, a little bit of kick, I should say. And that explains why we don't even start, like we spoke about before, why don't we even start the Seder before Tesach Avraham? Okay, so fine. So we're not going to have Pesach Matzah Marar, the Tosefta said, quoted by Tosfos, as the Balayla Dafka. Okay. And the Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim also, also the same Zmana Mitzvah as Pesach Matzah Marar. But what's going on with Kiddush? The answer is no. Because the Kiddush is also a Chaluk of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim. Midrabanan. Midrabanan, Minat Torah, I could get away without it. But Midrabanan, the Arba Kosos are really framed the whole evening. Arba Kosos not just happened to be there. Arba Kosos, and that's what we saw in the Sugya of Haseba, Arba Kosos is mamash framed the evening. You have two Kosos before the first half, the pre-Suda, Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim. You have two Kosos that frame the latter half, last third, I should say, the post-Suda hollow, and then mamish, and which together are the totality of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's why Chazal set up Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim and Rabbanan, it's framed by the Kosos. And as I said, the Kosos themselves, the Rambam explains, are an aspect of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim. And it could be even the brachos that we say, look, if you see those two aspects as being integrated, the brachos ala Kosos themselves may all be part of the Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim. In which case we understand why the Shtiyas HaKos and perhaps even the Amiras Kiddush needs to be after Tzeisak Ruchavim as well. Let's talk about one more important topic, and then we will turn our attention to back to Masech HaSukkah. Let's talk for a couple of minutes about matzah. How much matzah do you eat? All right. A lot, a little, I'm not really sure. That's short. So how much matzah is he supposed to eat? So Pasha is supposed to eat Kedayis HaMatzah. Kedayis HaMatzah. Because that's a general halacha Moshe Sinai that achil is the Kedayis. Over Shulchan Aruch, they talk about two Kedayis HaMatzah. So where do the two Kedayis HaMatzah come from? And then already there's also the other, how big is a Kedayis? So briefly, number the question of how big is a number the question of the two kazaisim that we should already discuss. Should you be eating one kazais or two kazaisim? Motzi matzah. So what that seems to, says Rav Shechter likes to quote from the Rav, based on the language of Rishonim, is that Rishonim seem to be debating the following question. When you sit down to eat matzah, Leil HaSeder, there are two different mitzvahs that you are being mekayim. One is, as was said before, we pass on like Rava. There's an independent mitzvah d'oraisa, aside from Pesach, Korban Pesach, independent mitzvah d'oraisa, for Erev Tochel Matzahs. Eat a kazayis matzah leil haseder. There's another mitzvah, which applies also the next morning and the next night, and applied this past Friday night, or certainly going to apply the first night of Shavuos, and that is Suda Zantav, Suda Shabbos Suda Zantav, right? There's an aspect of the mitzvah of Simcha. That's a Gemara actually in the Chanukah Sugyas. And near the end of the Chanukah Sugyas, and the beginning of the second paragraph of Shabbos, beginning of Lincoln, I think it's a Daf of Dalam and Aleph, the Gemara talks about if you left Eretz Yisrael, Yal V'Yavar, at least you go back, you have to repeat Benchin Nuts. The Gemara says, well, it depends. It's Gemara and Shabbos, part of the Shabbos, you have a Brachas, I believe also. The Gemara says, it depends whether you're Mechiv to eat bread. If it's a day when you're Mechiv to eat bread, so then the mentioning the day is a critical part of benching. So on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, you're mechuyev to have bread. So then if you left out, say, Yav Yavo, you got to go back. If you left out Yav Yavo on Chol HaMoed, you left out Al HaNisim on Hanukkah, since those days are not, you're not allowed to fast, but you're not mechuyev to wash, you're presumably supposed to have a suda on Chol HaMoed, but you're not mechuyev to wash. So then, if you left it, you're supposed to say Yav Yavo. You left Yav Yavo, you don't have to go back. But Yom Tov, you do have to go back. And so that's an aspect of Suda's Yom Tov, it requires pas. So when you sit down to Leil HaSeder, you make two brachos, Hamotzi Lachem in Haaretz and Al Achilas Matzah, which is, by the way, why we say in the Siman HaSeder, Motzi Matzah. Motzi means saying Hamotzi. Matzah means Al Achilas Matzah.
It's a reference to the two brachas, and perhaps also a reference to the two mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah of the mitzvah of Sudas Yantiv, there's a mitzvah of the Erev Tochel Matzahs. And the debate we've shown him seems to be to what extent are those two mitzvahs integrated. In other words, is it that I have one mitzvah of Sudas Yantiv, I have a separate mitzvah of Achilas Matzah, and those are independent mitzvahs? Or no? There's a mitzvah of Sudas Yantiv, comes the pasuk of Erev Tochel Matzahs to tell me, but tonight you can do the mitzvah of Sudas Yantiv in a particular way, with Matzahs mitzvah. One nafkamina is, am I supposed to be in a separate kazayis for each mitzvah? Or is it really just one mitzvah? The Erev Tochel Matzahs is a twist on the adding color, adding flavor, so to speak, or lack of flavor, to the general mitzvah of Sudas Yantiv. Tonight it's with a twist. With a twist of what? Of Matzah's mitzvah. What's the difference? Anyways, I'm having bread all Pesach long. Is matzah. Ah, there is a difference. Because the bread for Be'er Tochel Matzahs, it can't just be bread, lechem, which happens not to be chametz. It has to be matzah's mitzvah. What does matzah's mitzvah mean? No more matzah's mitzvah means was made, like we spoke about earlier, made l'shma, shmartim as a matzah, as they made l'shem mitzvah, to create a chesed shel mitzvah. And number two, it has to be lechem oni. The way the Torah describes in part, shmartim as a matzah, in part, is both. In re'eh, you have the idea of lechem oni. And lechem oni itself already encompasses several different ideas. On the one hand, lechem oni means, like we spoke about in the last year, lechem oni, Gemara interprets, means milashin aniya, bread of speech, the bread of conversation. It has to absorb, after I've said the Haggadah and a little bit of the Halal, Rashi writes, over the matzah in order to make it lechem oni. I have to be eating my words. English expression, I eat my words. It's a positive thing, Leila says. You have to go to eat your words. You say the Haggadah, then you mamash eat the Haggadah. We see a zone, the matzah is open on the table, it so to speak, it absorbs the words you're saying. Your mamash gonna, you say the words and you eat your words. Lechem oni. You're supposed to eat the bread that you spoke over. That's one aspect of lechem oni. Then other time, we accept multiple approaches of tanam. Other time, we say, no, it means oni miloshen oni, bread of poverty. Well, what does it mean, bread of poverty? So we know, it means number one, it can't be matzah ashira, that can't be. Can't have other flavors added to it. That's what I was saying before. Dafka, it should not be flavored. It's supposed to be only unflavored. You want to have flavored matzah. In theory, you could have kosher Pesach flavored matzah the rest of Pesach. Right? If we knew Tosis, Ashkenazim avoid having egg matzah over the course of Pesach because we're worried that we may not do it right. It may come to chametz. Not getting involved in the details. But strictly speaking, you could have kosher Pesach flavored matzah, but it won't be kosher for the mitzvah of Leilat Seder because it won't be lechem. Non-chametz, it won't be lechem oni. Lechem oni means poor man's bread, meaning unflavored. Poor man's bread, meaning not too large. You can't make an enormous matzah, else that's not impoverished. And finally, lechem oni means dafka ma darkosh oni befrusa. Like oni, the Gemara says, a poor person's impoverished needs to ration food. You can't just blow a whole loaf of bread in one meal. You're crazy. That's so irresponsible. What's going to be tomorrow? You have to have bitachon. You also have to have prudent hishtadlus. So if a person is very tight, so you have to ration your supplies. You have to ration food. The Gemara said, Leila Seder, the bread matzah has to be poor man's bread, which means we have to go through the motions of rationing. Baruch Hashem, we have boxes of matzah. Doesn't matter. The matzah you eat for the mitzvah matzah has to be rationed matzah. When do we ration the matzah? Yachatz, right? That's why by the dafka we do yachatz before magid. Why have to do yachatz before magid? Not only kedei shishalati to get kids wondering, but also to make it darker sha'olim beprusa in order to be machshir the matzah to be the prop for the mitzvah of magid. The magid in turn can also make lechem oni in the other sense. We want to make it poor man's bread so that it's a proper lechem oni for the course of the magid. So b'zvash prashesh matzu marum nachul fanecha. We dafka, it's already baked without flavors, it's already baked to be not too large. The one aspect left is it needs to be broken. That's why we dafka put away most of it and hide it away so that what's on the table is broken. Now, Yabal, normally we don't like breaking our challah before we make our motzi. Right? Also, normally we have two challahs on the table. Now let's say that we have three. What's with the three? There's also a Ramazan, according to Levi Yisrael, you've heard the Ramazan. But Pashup Shat,
the Ramazim are Me'al. But Apidin, Apinigla, if you will, why do you have three matzahs? And why were there some Rishonim who did not have three matzahs? The answer is, Rav point, that's all the same achlokas. Because normally you need Lechem Mishnah. The mitzvah Suda Shabbos Suda Yom Kippur, you're supposed to have Bibotzeya on two whole loaves. Now if you see matzah, Achilas Matzah, Be'er Tochu Matzah Lechem Oni, as one mitzvah, distinct from the separate general mitzvah of Suda Yom Kippur, and this year it'll be Suda Shabbos and Suda Yom Kippur, so then you would say, I need to have Lechem Mishnah, and I need to have Lechem Oni. Never the twain shall meet. So I need to have three loaves. Two are whole for Lechem Mishnah, and one is broken for Lechem Oni. And then I'm going to go ahead and have a kezias from the top one of the two whole ones, and that could be to be Yotze Sudas Yom Tov, and then kezias from the broken one, which is Lechem Oni, which is right for the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah, Be'erev Tov for Matzah Lechem Oni. The other approach in Rishonim says you only have to have one kezias, also says you only have to have two matzahs, one of which is broken. What happened to Lechem Mishnah? Lechem Mishnah, Lechem Oni. What happened to Lechem Mishnah? The answer is, don't worry. If you understand that they're not two distinct mitzvahs, but rather that Be'erev Tochu Matzahs is an uptaich, that's a twist that the Torah gives to, you know, always a mitzvah Suras Yom Tov, every Yom Tov, but come Leil Tezvav, you do Suras Yom Tov in a special way. How? Dafka with matzah's mitzvah. Number one, matzah shmura. Number two, lechem oni. So then normally Suras Yom Tov is with two whole loaves. But tonight, dafka is not two whole loaves. If you understand that the two mitzvahs, Suras Yom Tov and Be'erev Tochu Matzahs, are integrated into one, so then you dafka, you're not going to have Lechem Mishnah, you're going to have one hole, but at least one of them, you got two, at least one of them is going to be broken, of Lechem Oni, and you only have to have one kezias. It all fits in. We have three matzahs, and we eat two kezaisim, and that is consistent. So that's why we're already shooting for two kezaisim to Machmer for this approach. Then the other question is, with other reasons to have a lot of matzah, is it not to be Yehuda? To make a long story short, there are two different ways of arriving at the shear of a kezias or a kebetza. Because the Gemara in Pesachim, you could directly measure them, get a volume measurement, displacement. And Rishonim, the Rama quotes from Gaonim, Masoros, about how to get that measurement using more standardized items, like barley corns. Or because he talks about, I believe the Rama talks about the weight of that volume of water. The amount of water is displaced by, I think he talks about Kibetza, it weighs this amount, it's a weight they're able to pretty much standardize. And it's off by a factor of two from following the computation given in Pesachim, where the Gemara talks about a certain number of finger widths. You know, this number of finger widths, this is 2 etzbos by 2 etzbos by 2 and change, give you, I believe, a kebetza. So basically, it's a steer between the Gemara in Pesachim and the Gemara in Eirvin. And it's off by, the Not Yehuda experimented, that's what Chachmai Torah believe in, he experimented, and it was off by a factor of two. So the Yehuda's take was, it must be that eggs are smaller than they used to be. It must be the eggs have shrunken, and it must be that chickens used to lay larger eggs. And the guy who wanted me to tell me them, where I had takes the prize for one of the most brilliant safer titles. His name was Blazer Fleckles, and the name of his safer is Sarah Shalos and Tshuva safer called the Tshuva Me'ava. Tshuvas, like answers to questions. People send him shilas, he wrote tshuvas. The name of the Sefer was the Tshuva Me'ava. The Tshuva Me'ava, apparently he said to his Rebbe, Nehuda was, I think I mentioned in other kinds, it was a very, very big man. He's big. Like, he was Adam Gadol, but also physically. He was tall, he was broad shouldered, he was a big man. So, and as I mentioned also, he had a great sense of humor, he had a very sharp, witty sense of humor. So led that to the Blazer Fleckel said to his Rebbe, you did an experimentation, the Gemara talks about fingers. So you used your fingers, so you had 2 etzbos by 2 etzbos, and it came out to be double what you get from displacing egg displacements. But the Rebbe is not an Adam Gadol. The Rebbe is an Adam Gadol. In other words, he's a tzaddik, and big Talmud Chacham. He also was big. He had big fingers. He was tall. He had broad shoulders. He had big fingers. So the Rebbe is not an Adam Gadol. And then Yehuda chuckles. So the Rebbe Shechter puts it, there's a whole literature about the chuckle of Noam Yehuda. Was that laugh to say, that's a good point, you're right. In other words, my measurement is off because my fingers are too big. Or that laugh was very cute, good line, but it's not, that's not the answer. And remember, in basic algebraic thinking, his finger didn't have to be twice as wide as an average person's finger. It had to be a cube root of two as wide, because you're cubing, it's fingers by fingers by fingers, you're cubing it. So a slight variation in the width of his finger, very going to be a big variation in terms of the volume that you get. So that's the shayla, whether we say niskanu hashiurim or not. Do we assume that we should double that a kazayis is really twice what our modern day elves are, and a kibetz is really twice what modern day eggs are, and so on and so forth? Even if you're going to machav the Noam Yehuda, two things. Number one, the Yehuda is only saying double. So instead of a kazayis of two kazaisim, you've seen olives before, even a big olive. So the maximum that kazayis is two big olives, which is still not that much. And moreover, the question is mechuyti machmir for both, for this katan shiurim and for the two kazaisim. So Rav Shechter quotes from Chaim Voloshiner that a kazayis is like a palm of matzah. Two kazaisim is your whole hand. You want to be double machmer, it's going to be this much. So lamasa, and then the word from our sponsor, lamasa, if you're giving out masa at the Seder, you have to figure out who you're giving to, how many chumers you're going to give them. And Rav Shechter for himself, but he advised, that's what I do, is if you calmly sit there and eat matzah beseba, just eat matzah in a relaxed fashion for a few minutes, you will certainly have more than eaten four kazaisim without a problem. And you can enjoy the mitzvah, you can mechav the mitzvah. You don't have to measure. Just sit by a table, eat matzah for a couple minutes in a relaxed fashion, and you will definitely, you'll cover yourself fully. Before we take questions. Question.
How can one say that kazayis matzah is like kazayis of a palm, and kazayis depends on how thick matzah is?
Right, that's true.
Thickest matzah varies from company to company.
True, okay.
Oh, we're not.
Yeah, but if you think about that amount of matzah, you cut it into pieces, you stack it.
You can't even measure and say that a matzah is like a palm when a matzah could technically be the length of the whole world if it was thin enough.
Right.
I don't understand how you can give that measure. You have to give a measure of a height. If you want to give a width and a length, you have to give a height.
Okay, but I think there's not that much variation. A little bit of variation in thickness.
And a little bit of variation makes very big.
Okay.
In a Sephardi community, variation different.
Right. Now, obviously, if you're dealing with soft matzah, so then the surface area you need is obviously much less. But he was talking about, Chaim Voloshiner was talking about Ashkenazi matzah, which is thin crackers. Yeah, question.
Why is it even possible about what he was using his big fingers, if you can just figure out what finger sizes are and measure ourselves and figure out whether it's possible?
Yeah, I think that's the reason why Lamaisa we are. We are concerned about Niskanish urine, because even if you do average fingers, it is off. It is somewhat off, yeah.
Is Sephardi matzah chametz?
No. If it's done properly, no.
We use it
after Seder. That's a machlokes poskim. Machlokes Ashkenazi poskim. But I think many assume that's fine. Yeah. No, the machlokes Ashkenazi poskim, because minig Ashkenaz is to dafka insist on rekikim. That's where the Ashkenaz, the Chachmi Ashkenaz is right. The Minig Ashkenaz in many areas of halacha was to sort of standardize things. And one of the areas in which we standardize things was this standardization. The standardization in a number of areas. And one of them was the standardization in terms of how you make matzah. So the Chachmi Ashkenaz say that we insist on rikikim. So the question is, does rikik mean dafka crackerish, mean hard, or rikik just means thin? If you assume rikik just means it has to be thin, the lamaisa most, the tamani matzah that I've seen is very thin. It's just not hard.
Does
So some assume, you know, that the Ashkenazi insistence on rikikim means it has to be thin and crackerish. It has to be hard. If you assume it has to be rigid, so then you would avoid the Sephardi matzah. Yeah?
I don't think I've ever seen
Ani
be very machbid on having a full piece of bread or matzah. So why does it have to be very machbid on having a whole piece of...
That's a great point. That's a great point. Right, so that's why actually we insist on having a broken piece. The whole pieces that we have, that's because the way we practice our Seder, that we have three matzahs, and the middle one is broken, the top and bottom are whole. Or if you have a lot of people at your Seder, you might have a whole stack of matzahs, and the middle bunch are broken, and the top bunch and bottom bunch are whole, because you need to give out from the top one kazayis to everyone at the table, and from the middle ones, the kazayis to everyone at the table. So the ones that are the one or ones that are broken, that's because we want to kind of the mitzvah of matzah, which is lechem oni, that's dafka broken. And the reason why we have two other ones which are whole is because we see sudas yom tov as a separate mitzvah. We want to have a kind of mitzvah of lechem oni, of matzah, and that's dafka broken. But then we also want to have a kind of mitzvah of sudas yom tov, and that requires two whole loaves, two whole matzahs. So you do both. You have two matzahs which are whole, that's like lechem mishnah, and we have the one which is broken, and that's for lechem oni.
Okay, so the mitzvah of lechem oni takes effect, like 10 minutes into the Seder. So, like, at the beginning at Kaddish, we just have, like, we have two.
It's not fully lechem oni yet. Well, as a matter of fact, over the course of the Seder, it's becoming more and more lechem oni. It's already lechem oni in certain two senses. They're not baked too large, the loaves aren't too large, and it's unflavored. When we get to Yachas, we make a lechem oni in a third sense, and now it's rationed. And then over the course of Magid, we make a lechem oni in a fourth sense, which is that we say lechem sha'olam av dvar marbu, we say the words of Magid over the matzah. So by the time we get up to the mitzvah of matzah, it has now been fully qualified in all four senses of lechem oni. That's part of what goes back to the last year, that's part of why Magid comes before. That's why we can't eat, make hamotzi right away. We're not yet ready for the mitzvah of matzah, both because the magid needs matzah to come later, and matzah needs the magid to come earlier. And since we see it as two separate mitzvahs, that's why we have the three loaves, one of which is broken. That's why we eat two kazesim. That's, by the way, why we see motzi matzah. We would put a period between the two. Motzi is one simen, and matzah is another simen, because those two brachas correspond to the two separate mitzvahs that we're doing side by side, of eating sudas Yom Tov, and of what's it called? And of eating Be'erev Tochel Matzah, the mitzvah of eating Matzah Shmura Lechem Oni, that's particular mitzvah of Leil Tezvav. We'll close with a quick sketch. Rabbi Shechter found in a history that quoted a story and found a biography, found a diary of a Talmud who learned in Volozhin in the latter half of the 1800s, in the post Rabbi Chaim Volozhin era, when the Netziv and the Beis Halevi were co-Rashi Yeshiva. So most guys couldn't afford to go home for Pesach. Going home for Pesach, you know, who had the money to pay wagon fare to get home for Pesach? So you stay in Yeshiva for Pesach. Stay in Yeshiva for Pesach, so you go to Rosh Yeshiva for Seder, which you straight see in the days of the Yama. We saw the Gemara's in Arvei Pesachim. Amaram also had Seder. The Gemara talks about when they had Seder at Rabbah, they had Seder of Yosef and the Ba'am Kuf Chesim Rav. So they had Sedarim at the two Rashi Yeshiva. So the Talmud describes Seder one night at the Beis Halevi, Seder the other night at the Netziv. He said the Beis Halevi, that said such different personalities, probably in general, but particularly at the Sedarim. The Beis Halevi, I forget which one he went to first night, second night. Beis Halevi, Chaim's father, was so anxious, like the whole night. He was like, it's almost like gloomy, he writes. It's like he was always anxious. Maybe he wasn't masiv enough. Maybe he didn't have enough matzah. He didn't have enough mar. This wasn't kosher. That wasn't kosher. Like the whole time he was very, very anxious. And so the Netziv was like a happy grandfather. And everything was freilach. And they both ate a lot of matzah, ate a lot of mar. There was plenty of matzah and mar going on both places. Plenty of seva. All the mitzvah laila were done while mahadrin, but with different affects. Then Beis Halevi had one affect in the way he approached the mitzvah halayla, more of an anxious affect, and the Netziv had more of a relaxed, a simcha-oriented affect. Whatever affect one is adopting, one should definitely seek to be mekayem the mitzvah halayla ambitiously, multidimensionally. There is to go through the meisim properly, to be careful with haseba and matzah and mara and arbakosos and going through that, and we recognize at the same time that Leil HaSeder more than any other is a time where there's supposed to be a blending of the maaseh mitzvah together with the thought and the emotion that's supposed to accompany them. That's highlighted Leil HaSeder more than any other time of the year. So there's supposed to be intense emotion. Chayvan Leros HaZatzmo. Supposed to be going through the agony of slavery and the thrill of victory, the thrill of redemption. And we're supposed to be going through in emotionally intense. We're supposed to be talking and thinking and feeling and ultimately coming out with great simcha. Great simcha, and historically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of us 3,000+ years ago, Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has taken care of us V'yishalom Lav HaSayim Lo throughout all the years of Golos, and Klal Yisrael is going through horrific times. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept us going, and that we understand that means that in our own lives personally, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will yet redeem us, and that nationally, we're zochet to see already the results live in a generation we've been watching for around a century, the unfolding of more than a century. We've watched the slow unfolding of the process of Gula. So we can see, it's easier, even easier for us than it was for Bekiva to be able to see Gula unfolding. So there should be powerful emotions, and certainly powerful emotions of Simchas Yontif. The Leil HaSeder, they are totally intertwined and coherent with dovetailing with being very careful to do the mitzvah halayla in the best possible way, b'masa, b'machshava, b'dibar, u v'hergish. That's supposed to be the rich mix. That is the Leil HaSeder. Mitzvah Shem tomorrow morning.